You're listening to Tahiti Dispatches, a Going to Tahiti production. Welcome to Tahiti Dispatches, episode number 2. This is Jessica Amorati, Artistic Director of Going to Tahiti Productions, and I'm joined today by Kiwi Callahan, the star of Tahiti's one-woman show, Full Disclosure, by Ruth McKee. Full Disclosure runs Tuesday, December 6th through Sunday, December 18th at the Secret Theater in Long Island City. Tickets are available at goingtotahitiproductions.com or by calling 866-811-4111. And seating is limited, so reserve your tickets now. So let's just jump right in. Kiwi, why don't you start by telling us a little about yourself?
Okay. Well, hi. I'm Kiwi Callahan. Let's see. I guess we should start at the beginning, shouldn't we?
Yes, we should.
I was actually born in France, but I didn't live there for very long. My parents moved to Colorado when I was less than a year old. And I grew up there and went to college in Chicago, so I lived there for about 6 years. I went to Chicago College of Performing Arts at Roosevelt University. Loved my time there. It was a lot of fun. I met a lot of great people, and the Chicago theater community was just so wonderful. And then I moved here in 2008, actually the day after Obama got elected, is when my husband and I drove out here. It was kind of amazing. We actually were there in Grant Park when he made his acceptance speech, so it was a big, like, landmark day, and then the next day we drove here, so it was a big, like...
Another big landmark day.
Exactly. It was awesome. and then since then, I've just been here, and I absolutely love it here. I just think it's wonderful, so...
When you were in Chicago, did you do a lot of performing there, or was it just through school and then?
I did actually do a lot of performing in Chicago. Lots of things. it's actually where I got, like, the bulk of my resume. I really wanted to. I thought it was important before I moved here to kind of build up a few credits and really get to know what the business was like and, you know, what it meant to be auditioning full time and all that kind of stuff before coming here. Because everything in New York, I knew even then before I got here that everything here is just so fast paced and people just really expect you to be at the top of your game all the time. And I kind of wanted my learning curve to be a little bit quicker than I thought it would be if I had just moved here right away from after school. So I spent two and a half years after school just kind of performing in and around Chicago and in the Midwest. I did some regional theater stuff in the Midwest as well. And then when I felt ready, I came here.
And you've been on tour as well, right?
I have, yes. That was actually a gig I got out of New York, though.
Okay.
I spent a year touring with Sesame Street Live, which was so outrageously fun. I can't even tell you, like... I mean, because I grew up with Sesame Street, so to be on stage with all of those characters was just like, I can't even, it was like a dream come true. And so my character was Samantha the mail carrier. She was my main character, but I also alternated playing Samantha the mail carrier with Oscar the Grouch. And Oscar was my favorite when I grew up. Like, I always loved Oscar the Grouch. I have no idea why. Like, why would a little girl like Oscar the Grouch? I don't know, but I did. So that just getting to, like, mess around with that puppet was just, like, I can't even tell you. It was just so fun.
That's awesome. So before we get into specifics about Full Disclosure and mm-hmm. going to Tahiti, what do you do other than theater?
Ah, the outside life. Well, I definitely wait tables, you know, because it's what you do.
Because you gotta.
And actually, I work at a really great restaurant. I work at Abe and Arthur's. It's a contemporary American restaurant in the Meatpacking District. They are known for their steaks, but I hesitate to call them a steakhouse because that's sort of like... kind of gives a certain vibe that I feel like it's totally different from a typical, like, steakhouse. But anyway, I love them there. The staff is great. The managers are amazing. The company is really great to work for. I'm really, really happy there as far as, like, day job goes. I also am a manager at a mixed martial arts gym. So I get to... train with their fight team and kind of manage their athletes a little bit. And it's cool. It's kind of this whole other universe that I don't think I ever would have guessed that I would have fallen into. But now that I have, I am just so, so grateful for these people. Like, they have inspired me in so many ways. They're just a wonderful, amazing group of human beings. I couldn't, they're some of my closest friends now. I, just couldn't imagine my life without them.
So let's talk a little bit about Tahiti. Let's talk a little bit about how you got hooked up with Tahiti and Full Disclosure.
Right. Well, let's see. My first Tahiti production was Dreamers of the Day. That was last year. It was an audition that I just walked into and just happened to be right for the part. And that was awesome. So thanks for that job, Jessica.
You bet. You were really perfect for the role, so there wasn't much question on
Thank
that one.
Thank you. I actually had a great time with that role, too. She was awesome. She was an awesome character. Lillian in Dreamers of the Day, for those of you who are a little lost right now. Anyway, later on, I did Skin, Flesh, Bone. That was our other production this year. And then this one, just got an email saying, hey, I found this one-woman show. What do you think? So that's kind of how that worked.
So that leads into my next question, which was, what were your first thoughts when I tapped you to play this role? When I said, so it's a one-woman show, what do you think?
It was sort of like, oh my gosh, oh my God. It was kind of one of those where, you sort of went up and down a few times before kind of settling in the middle. And really exciting in the sense that I've never done one before. And then all of a sudden really intimidating because I've never done one before. And also because it's, it's just yourself on stage for, however long the script is. And obviously there's things helping you out. The text is there with you. We talked about this actually the other day in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. It's really not just me. Ruth wrote an amazing script. And so that is an amazing structure to be able to work within. And there's a lot of, the audience members are definitely part of the show as well. So that, they're going to help me out in a lot of ways too. And, at the end of the day, I am responsible for making sure that this script gets to these people. And so that's, it's definitely a challenge for sure. But, one I'm definitely excited to attempt.
Great. So in Full Disclosure, you play a pregnant realtor who's holding an open house to sell the house that she's listing.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sunny Smith. And I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about what you think of Sunny and how you feel about her as a person.
Absolutely. I really love her. She just is so lovable, at the end of the day. She is so genuine, and she is full of love herself, and I think that is something that you can't help but return. She's so full of love and joy, and she's been through so much, but at the same time she just still maintains this unwavering positive outlook, and she just tries so hard. She will, she just works so hard, and I just think that is really admirable.
What is it like to play the pregnancy?
That is a challenge. That's a big challenge, actually. Not only because there's a lot of physical changes, a woman goes through with pregnancy, so emulating that when I have never done it myself is definitely a big challenge. I've spent a lot of hours on YouTube searching for, different ways, different angles and, different walks and, what exactly does that mean and the weight, And the thing is that the thing that I found that's the most interesting is every woman bears it completely differently. There is no pregnant walk, so in order for me to be believable as a pregnant person, I have to figure out how I would walk as a pregnant person, which kind of is oh man, you kind of want there to be one answer, but there isn't, such is life.
And you've read a lot of pregnancy books.
I have. At this point, I've read two. I have read The Guide to Childbirth.
To Pregnancy and Childbirth.
Pregnancy and Childbirth, that's what it is, by Sheila... What's
Kitzinger.
Kitzinger, thank you. Clearly it's your book and you lent it to me. And then The Official Guide to Childbirth by Dr. Lamaze.
as yeah, well. That one's actually written by Judith Lothian, but it is it's the Lamaze book.
Yes, yeah, there you go. So that one. And then I still have yet to read the Ina May Gaskin book, because she's also a expert on pregnancy as well. Maybe the expert on pregnancy, some would argue.
Possibly,
Quite possibly. I've definitely already skimmed through that book, and she's got some great stories that I'm looking forward to tapping into. But it's interesting because I sort of have, when I read them, I sort of almost have two different reactions when I'm reading it. Like, there's the Kiwi reaction, which is one thing completely different than the Sunny reaction, you know? And so I'm kind of like, it's interesting when I read, I have to like sort of stop at times and go, okay, who's reacting to this way? Is it Sunny or is it Kiwi? You know, because I think we all have our characters inside ourselves. Yeah.
What are your reactions when you see the publicity materials with like you pregnant? Is that
I think it's strange? Hysterical, but my husband kind of gets really nervous and clammy and wants to throw up. So I think that's kind of funny. I think what's interesting to me is how real it looks, you know? Like, people have been like, I've handed out cards to people and people are like confused. They're like, wait, like, they think that maybe I have this child and I just never told them about it. Like, I have a four-year-old and they just had no idea. And this is an old picture from 4 years ago that, like, they just never saw, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I have to say my mother, who knows you and who has had dinners with you, and, you know, she, when she first saw the postcard, she did a double take and stopped everything. I was like, what? Wait, is Kiwi pregnant? Mother, it's acting.
Yeah.
She thought you had the glow.
Oh, that's so sweet. I could glow.
That's an acting talent they don't always teach you
in
school.
Right. Yeah, that was, I didn't get pregnancy 101 at my conservatory. I'm very disappointed. If you're listening, CCPA, you should definitely add that to your curriculum. The pregnancy glow. Oh my God.
So what are some of, I mean, we've spoken a little bit about the playing pregnant, but what are some of the other challenges of playing this particular character and also the one woman show?
There's a few. Well, right off the bat, memorizing 26 pages of text is really difficult.
Yeah, because you're memorizing not just your lines and your cues, but your cues are actually also your lines.
Right, so. Exactly. So it normally, you know, people say, how do you memorize all those lines? And my answer is always like, well, usually in a scene, it's a conversation and it makes sense. You know, like, your scene partner will ask you a question and there's a logical answer to that question that your character will respond with, or, you know, you're having a conversation and the conversation makes sense. And maybe some things in the conversation you might not necessarily as a person say, but the conversation itself still makes sense. So it's not as hard to memorize really a scene, you know, because you've got someone else basically giving you hints the entire way, and you're giving them hints as well. So, it's kind of a team effort, but, the one thing that's just universally hard for everyone to memorize is a monologue. You know, is something where you're talking to another person, but they're not saying anything. Because then it's just your train of thought. So if your train of thought isn't completely bedrock solid, you're going to lose your space. So that's definitely a challenge. I think the other thing about Sunny that is so funny and that I love is that she just kind of wanders away from what is appropriate into what is inappropriate so easily. And Kiwi, as a person, has a very, you know, pretty strict sense of propriety when it comes to that stuff. Like, I personally am a very private person. I don't really talk about, you know, deep personal stuff with a lot of people. I don't put it on Facebook. I don't, you know, like, a lot of people wouldn't necessarily know if something really unfortunate had happened to me, or, you know, I was going through a tough time or whatever. And that's not to say that I would, you know, fake being super happy all the time, but I wouldn't necessarily go into the details with everyone. And Sunny will go, she will just start going in that direction, like, almost unprompted. And so that has been a really interesting challenge to get around, is just, you know, like, what would have to happen to me to like need to talk to strangers, like need to talk to someone so much that I would talk to complete strangers about this really difficult situation that I was in. So that is something that I'm working on.
Well, and that kind of brings up one of the things about full disclosure that I really like, which is that opportunity for audience interaction. And you know, the premise and the idea is that you're showing a house, mm-hmm. and in an open house, it isn't just a realtor monologuing. It's the, the audience or the potential buyers are asking mm-hmm. questions. And so although this isn't a full on dialogue between you and the audience, and it's not a completely improv show, not at all. Ruth wrote an amazing script that we stick to very, very closely, but the potential for actual audience interaction is a little more than in your normal, you know, keep the fourth wall kind of play.
So. Yeah, totally. Because it's basically, you know, we're not really setting it up so that it's me on a stage talking to these people. Like, we're all just going to be in a room together. You know, it's really set up to feel like you as an audience member came to this open house that, you know, I'm having to try and sell this apartment or this house. And, you know, we have the chairs just kind of willy-nilly everywhere, and you know, everybody just kind of picks one and sits down, and so it's also kind of in the round, you know, like I have audience on all sides of me, so it's not like I can ever really turn around and be off, so to speak. Those were quote marks in case you didn't hear them.
There's no real backstage.
Yeah, exactly. There's no backstage show. And it doesn't really stop. I mean, there's no intermission either. Like, it just kind of There's one moment where I leave the room for like a second, but then I come back, you know. So like,
so don't leave, yeah, audience.
But I'll try and make that clear. But there's only so much I can do. So.
But in exchange, you'll get snacks.
There will be snacks and wine. So good motivation there. Yeah. So it is definitely a different structure than a typical show, I think, because not only are we setting it up so that it's very intimate, but then also the way the script is written, there are moments that are in the script and ones that we've found that are maybe not necessarily intended this way, that are, you know, spoken directly to audience members, which under normal circumstances I would be loath to do, but I think it really works in this situation. It totally works and it totally benefits the story. And so therefore it's awesome. Normally, I'm not a person to break the fourth wall at all, but in this case, it really, really works, and it works for a really good reason. So I'm excited.
And in the particularly in the beginning of the show, there are really some opportunities for improvisation.
Yes.
And how, especially with a Chicago background where improv is king. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about the improv?
I'm excited, actually. It's been a while since I've done an improv show. I think the last one I did was actually one of the first shows I did in New York. And it was an improv musical. And it was kind of amazing. It was called Flanagan's Wake. And I played this character. Her name was Fiona Finn. And it was basically an Irish wake. But it was just totally ridiculous in so many ways. And at the end of it, like, I don't want to give away the ending in case you see it, because it's actually coming back. My friend Reed Kendall is producing it. Good luck, Reed. Anyway, so that was the last time I really got to, you know, put on my improv pants. And I'm really excited to try it again, because it opens up this whole new side, I guess, of the character. Like, you know, we're so used to, as actors, having them exist solely in the structure that you are given with the script. But to just kind of allow them to exist in a room by themselves just gives you this whole other, like, I feel like it enlightens me in a completely different way than, you know, just doing your lines.
So what have you most enjoyed about Sunny as a character and about it being a one-woman show? Nobody hogging the spotlight.
That's true. I get the spotlight all to myself. It definitely has been, I really am enjoying how different this process is than a normal show. It's so completely different to not have scene partners. And it's totally challenging in a completely different way. And I feel like I'm growing a lot as an actor doing this. And obviously, I talked before about how much I love her as a character. So kind of getting to put her on is, it's never going to get old. Like, she's just such a fun person to inhabit that I just, I really like her a lot. And yeah, I just think there's a lot to learn from her and from the idea of the show and from the one-womanness of it. I think there's a lot to be gleaned as a person and as an actor. So I'm really enjoying all of the learning, I guess, that's happening. That's probably my favorite thing.
So that's full disclosure. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for after full disclosure? Let's say, you know, December 18th at 3:15 p.m. when the last show is done.
Well, unfortunately, after the show is done, I will be going straight to work and waiting tables. So if you feel like coming to get a steak at Abe and Arthur's, you're welcome to come and visit me there.
Well, I do think the cast party would be a little strange if we did, it, you know, the normal rip-roaring cast party. Afterwards.
Right. It would be
you and me getting drunk.
I know.
You know.
Bottle of Jameson. Woo! But I don't drink. Kids don't drink. For all the parents listening out there. You know,
well, and she won't be pregnant anymore, so she can go
right,
ahead.
Right, exactly. I won't be pregnant anymore.
She can have at least a glass of wine.
Right, exactly. Let's see. After that, I am actually really excited about Christmas this year because my grandmother lives in this Victorian house. It's actually on the National Registry of Historic Places.
Very cool. Yeah,
very cool. And my uncles have recently renovated it. They spent almost 2 years just fixing it, and they got the original blueprints, and so they've kind of taken out some of the additions that have been made through the years that have, you know, the house has been in existence, and they've modernized everything. And so they've done kind of a great job of modernizing it and yet at the same time getting it back to its original condition. They've really managed to sort of combine the two objectives really, really well. And the last time I saw it, it was like in the very beginning stages. So I have no idea what it's going to look like. And I'm excited because, you know, this is my grandma's house, you know, like I grew up going there every summer, you know, and it's just such a great, great house. I love it. And anyway, so my whole family will be flying out for the big, like, reveal or whatever. And I'll also have, you know, some of my other family who already lives in Massachusetts will be there. So it's going to be a big, like, family reunion for Christmas, which has never happened to my knowledge. So I'm really excited. After that, career-wise, I'm definitely planning on taking a commercial TV film acting class in probably January or February. You know, got to keep those skills honed. Yeah, probably... Not sure what the next project is after that, but it'll depend on what Tahiti's doing and if I get any other offers and whatnot.
Great. So, Kiwi, why don't you give us a little preview of Sunny Smith in Full Disclosure?
Okay, sure. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself, if that's okay. My name is Sunny Smith, and I'm a realtor. I'd give you my card if I could, but of course, since this is a podcast, so instead, I'll just give you my toll-free number. It's 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. So if you're a high roller, please give me a call. And actually, even if you're not a high roller, just take down the number anyway, because you never know when you're going to strike it rich, am I right? That big break is probably just around the corner for you. And when it comes, well, there's no better time to buy a house than right away. I mean, with prices still in the tank and everything and interest rates as low as they are. So when your big break comes, you just pull out this number. It's 866-811-4111. And you just give Sunny a call and we'll go out and find you the home of your dreams. That's the Sunny guarantee. And I really, really hope you do call because, well, my big break hasn't shown up yet, so I could actually really use the business. I was going to be a singer. I mean, I am a singer or a vocal performer, as you probably would say in these circles. I'm from Ohio, and in some ways, the Ohio girl just still hasn't left me. The part where I just call things as they are. None of these fancy words for things. I mean, I went to college, but I went to a small, normal college. Not like an Ivy League school like you probably went to. Not like Columbia or anything, where Richard teaches. Oh, Richard. He's... Well, you know what? He's another story. Anyway, when I was in college, I took a few literature classes because I have always loved books. But I had this professor who took me aside one day and he said to me, "Sunny, you are a very good reader and a very bright girl, but you just don't seem to be interested in the Russian novel." And he was so right, because who really wants to read all those old books by dead people, am I right? I mean, reading is great and everything, but I've always been one for spending time with living, breathing people. So he said that every once in a while, he came across a student in one of his classes who wasn't really the college type. And he felt like rather than staying in school and wasting my time and money, I would be much better off just going out there and trying to pursue my dreams. So I thought about this for a little while, and he took me out to coffee, and we talked a little more about what I really wanted to do, and he was completely encouraging. And then spring break came, and he suggested that I might want to take a little road trip with him to New York City to meet some of his friends who were living there as artists and musicians. So I was like, of course, because, I mean, that was a no-brainer, because it's all about connections, isn't it? It's all about who you know. And if I was really going to be a vocalist, then I better take these opportunities when they came. But then he said that if we were going to do a road trip together, then I definitely couldn't be a student anymore, because how would that look? I mean, we take a road trip here to New York together, and at the end of it, he's going to give me a grade. So I just decided right then and there to withdraw. And I don't regret it. It was... The trip turned out to be... Well, I guess he had different ideas of what we were going to be doing with our time together, and his friends weren't really all that useful for me, but I am still so glad I did it, because coming here was, well, wow. I mean, it really opened my eyes to all the possibilities, to all the paths that you can take out into the world, you know? And once you've seen this, once you've been here in this city, how can you go back? To that place where you came from that all of a sudden feels so small, so dull, so insignificant. And yet, this city can be really... Well, it's hard to meet people, isn't it? Because everyone is so busy chasing after all their dreams. Like you guys here, all working so hard for yours. And that's why I like to come to these sorts of things and introduce myself to everyone, you know, to meet people and just to let you know that if you ever need me, if you ever need a realtor... or a singer, or even, you know, just a friend, Sunny is just a phone call away. Okay, well, thanks. Oh, and I'm having an open house December 6th through the 18th. I really hope you can make it. Okay, did everyone get that number? Okay, just in case, it's 866-811-4111. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Kiwi. So that was a little bit of Sunny Smith from Full Disclosure, and that pretty much wraps us up for today. So I just want to thank Kiwi for being here and doing our little chat.
My pleasure.
And I wanted to thank Patrick Metzger, who's our recording guru. I wanted to remind everyone that Full Disclosure runs December 6th through the 18th, as Sunny just said. It's at the Secret Theater in Long Island City, Queens. Details and tickets can be found on our website at goingtotahitiproductions.com, or you can get tickets by calling 866-811-4111. So I think that's it for us for this month. Thanks so much for listening. All right. Bye-bye.